This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
This is Nation Radio. It's 1:30. We're around until 2 o'clock today, and we'll be joined at 2 o'clock today by Jungle Jim Hunter. And at 4, it's our good friend Jeff Crichel. Now, in the next half hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the Oilers and their summer so far, some good moves here, and so a little bit of luck, too. But the Justin Schultz signing is a big item for the future. Joined now, though, by Robert Vollman from Hockey Abstract. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we were really looking forward to this because I found your usage charts earlier this summer. And once I got used to them and figured them out a little bit, they're very insightful. And it's a really good way of putting two different things on a piece of paper and then really understanding who the guys who are facing the uphill tough sledding and who maybe are playing the soft parade. Tell me a little bit about, give a thumbnail sketch to those who've never seen the usage chart, exactly what it entails and what it looks like.
Well, first of all, and thanks for those kind words. First of all, people can grab it by going over to www.hockeyabstract.com. It'll say player usage charts. You can download it. It's the player usage charts for, it's completely free for the entire league, every team. And what you'll see is like a two-dimensional chart, like you said, where the horizontal axis is the offensive zone starts. And the vertical axis is the quality of competition. So with basically the idea is to graphically represent the difficulty of every player's assignments. So players obviously that start in the offensive zone and against third and fourth lines, those guys, I mean, their counting stats are going to be fantastic, whereas those that start in the defensive zone against top lines, I mean, those guys are going to have a real tough go of it.
Page 3 of the particular document you're talking about, I found very insightful. The upper left is the shutdown, the guys playing the difficult minutes and the tough zone starts. Two-way maybe over in the right-hand upper, and then sheltered minutes on the lower right and less shelters lower left. That's an overall view and not necessarily completely correct, but it kind of gives you an idea about if you're in that zone, that's basically what you're looking at.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, once you take a look at it and you look at a few charts, It'll really make sense to you. The primary criticism of advanced stats has always been that it's sometimes it can be a little not very accessible. And I understand some of these terms like quality of competition, offensive zone start, Corsi. If I just say those things straight out or write an article with those straight out, I'm going to turn a lot of people off. But when you see it in a chart, it really makes a lot more sense.
Well, I found it insightful when we were having discussion about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and his chances to win the Rookie of the Year award. It really, the rookie chart that you published tells us that anyone in the left quadrant is facing tough opponents, getting tough zone start, and that was basically Gabriel Landeskog alone on an island. Sean Couturier definitely in there as well. And then Nugent-Hopkins, a player who obviously very talented, but he was getting a little bit of a push from the coach and maybe more optimum scoring opportunities.
Yeah, that's an excellent example. And it's not necessarily unwise, but you just have to understand that when you look at Gabriel Landeskog's statistics, I mean, he was playing the toughest minutes Colorado could offer. He was up against first lines. He was playing the defensive zone. Whereas on the Edmonton Oilers, I mean, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and hey, this is a smart thing to do when you've got a young, talented kid, was used pretty much exclusively in the offensive zone. And against, you know, third lines and fourth lines, he was used a bit more carefully. Obviously, as he develops, he's going to be shifted again into a tough role with all his talent. But for his rookie season, he was used a lot more carefully than Landeskog. And if that hadn't been the case, then his counting stats wouldn't have been that much better than Landeskog.
How unusual is, and I'm sorry, I don't know how far you'll go back with these usage charts, but how unusual is it for somebody like Landeskog or Couturier to be used in that fashion as a rookie?
Highly unusual. Generally, rookies are used very carefully, especially defensemen. But among forwards, I mean, it's not unheard of, but generally the forwards are used very carefully. I think that just goes to say two things. One, the confidence that Colorado has in a player like Landeskog, and number two, their lack of other options.
The thing that I think will drive home the effectiveness of the usage chart for Oiler fans is on page 25, I believe, at 26, is the actual Edmonton Oilers usage chart for everybody. The upper left quadrant includes Sean Horkoff, Ryan Smith, Ryan Jones getting the tough starts and opponents. That's your more veteran group, right? The guys that you would expect to do the heavy lifting.
Absolutely. And, yeah, that's the interesting thing to look at these charts is also not just where they're located, but also you'll notice that there's bubbles for each player. And some of the bubbles are blue and some of the bubbles are white. Some are big, some are small. This is actually something that was tossed our way by your previous guest. It was his idea to add these bubbles. The blue bubbles are someone that's really driving possession. When he's on the ice, the Oilers are getting more shots than their opponents. And the bigger the bubble, the bigger the advantage. And if it's white, then it's the other team that's taking the majority of the shots, attempted shots. And now in some situations, you would expect that. Like, for instance, you mentioned Sean Horkoff. He has a tiny white bubble, which is actually pretty impressive given the difficulty of the minutes he's facing. And the other thing, too, is if you do find it a little confusing at first, every single, in this player usage chart document, every single team has got a little bit of analysis underneath from someone that knows what they're talking about. In the case of the Oilers, you got a little bit of insight from Jonathan Willis, who knows the team perhaps better than anyone, and a little blurb by TSN Scott Cullen on his thoughts. And, of course, my thoughts are in there, too.
It's interesting because one of the major items last year for the Oilers was the trade of Tom Gilbert. But two things that I see in the chart are the Smead-Petrie pairing doing very well in that upper left quadrant, and also the replacement player for Gilbert, Nick Schultz, also facing some tough competition as well.
Yeah, I think one of the little secrets that you Oilers fans have over the rest of the league is just how effective Smead and Petrie are. I mean, they play the tough minutes, and yet they're not getting overwhelmed. They're handling those minutes just fine. And I think that's what gave them the confidence to move Gilbert to get another, you know, strong defensive-minded guy like Schultz.
And for Oiler fans who are wondering how Taylor Hall did, he's in a large blue balloon, so he was obviously driving possession. And he got a zone start push, which the Oilers can control, but definitely watching him as the season wore on, teams were aware of him, and the quality of competition did improve. So that was a balloon that was going becoming more difficult for Hall, and he was still obviously winning the day in a lot of circumstances.
Absolutely. Hall had the best possession numbers on the Oilers, partly because, like you said, he got the offensive zone push. And that's the sort of direction, and that's the sort of way the graph will look next year for Nugent Hopkins and Eberle. They're going to get moved into, hopefully, like sort of where Taylor Hall is, and hopefully will keep their big blue bubbles. And then perhaps Taylor Hall would then move more, not all the way over to Horkoff territory, but maybe over to Hemsky territory, you know?
And looking at Magnus Pajärvi, now he's in the lower left quadrant, which is you know, a little more sheltered time, but he's got a nice sized bubble there. So he's obviously a guy who the Oilers, if Ralph Krueger were to look at this, he might think, you know, this is a guy maybe not this year coming up, but in the future may be able to take on a little more difficult minutes if he's driving possession easier. Maybe he can move up in terms of a grade.
You're absolutely right. When you see a big blue bubble on one of these charts, it generally means that that's a good candidate for a tougher assignment. And likewise, when you see a big white bubble, that person was probably being played a little over his head and should maybe get softer ice minutes. But yeah, Pajärvi was playing kind of a defensive-minded role against third lines and fourth lines only. He might be a good candidate to occasionally get some top six duty.
How long since you've rolled this out, Robert, and what kind of reaction have you had?
Well, see, that's interesting. I mean, I've rolled out stuff before, but it never really caught on outside, I guess you could say, your previous guests, the more advanced stats lovers. But a year ago, I put this on Arctic ice hockey in a slightly more primitive form, and it caught on right away. I mean, within a few months, everybody, all the stat heads, I guess you could say, were using it. And it started to really catch on also with the casual fan. So over the past year, it's really, really caught on, and it's and hoping it can become a little bit more mainstream as time goes on.
Well, I think one of the advantages of the chart is that, you know, intuitively, we know that the Oilers had trouble third, fourth line. That was the area where they were bleeding, specifically the fourth line. But when you look at the graph and you see where the balloons are and there's no color and it's in the easy quadrant, it really spectacularly shows that this is a team that has a lot of the difficult holes filled, but maybe is losing some games and certainly losing some possession opportunities with the third and fourth lines and the third pairing. And that's the area where you would think that it would be the easiest to replace players.
You're absolutely right. I mean, having watched all 82 games, this is something that you and the other fans have seen just with their own eyes. It's always nice when you have a statistical representation on a graph that matches with what you know and understand about the team. And you're absolutely right. The guys that they had on the third and fourth lines, you know, whether it's Hordachuk or Lander or Omark or Petrell or Eager or whoever, they really struggled in what should be relatively easy assignments.
So where do we go from here? Just wait for another season to do these? Are you planning on having them at intervals during the year that we can look at? Or what's the future for usage charts?
Well, I mean, player usage charts are out there. I think about 20 people collaborated with me on writing the analysis for these charts in this PDF. Each of them have already started putting these player usage charts on their own sites. As far as the Edmonton Oilers go, you're almost guaranteed to get a few of these on Oilers Nation. Copper and Blue, Derek Zone has been using it all last year already. And if you can't find it for your team or for any other team, you can always head over to my site, www.hockeyabstract.com. You can shoot me off an email. You can bug me on Twitter. And, you know, I can point you towards the latest one or maybe even just whip one up for you.
Robert, this has been a very enjoyable conversation, and we'd love to have you back again because I have a feeling that this is the kind of thing that's going to really impact the game. It's such an insightful piece of information, and we thank you for it.
Well, I really appreciate that. Thanks. I'd be very happy to come on anytime.
All right. That's Robert Vollman from Hockey Abstract. The usage chart, if you take, I would say, 20 minutes, it's really simple to understand. The upper left quadrant is the difficult area. Sean Horkoff is way in the upper left with a small, clear circle, which means that he's not pushing play, but he's surviving because it's a small circle. Then over in the other quadrant at the top is Taylor Hall with his monster blue balloon, and that's telling you that he's pushing play. He's getting the zone start push from Coach Rennie, but you know, the opposition is a little more difficult because the other teams are aware of him. It gives you instantly an opportunity to look at the graph and know the situation on the ice and maybe read into it what the Oilers coach is trying to do and then what the opposition coach is trying to do. And if you have last year's Tom Rennie edition, it'll be very interesting to see what Ralph Kruger does to, number one, improve that fourth line, number two, utilize Taylor Hall. Will he use him in that same area, or will there be an opportunity for him to take on tougher zone starts as the Oilers try to make, you know, Ryan Smith and Sean Horkoff and Ryan Jones and that veteran group less accountable than they have been, because you can't ride those guys all day, or their numbers, as we've seen, are impacted. So that was a fascinating look at usage charts, and I thank Robert for that. Now, it's 1:42, 18 minutes before 2 o'clock. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Edmonton Oilers summer so far, what they've done well and what they haven't done yet, but we can look forward to. This is Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors.